Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. Now, it's been a week now since five people were killed at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport when a gunman opened fire inside the Terminal 2 baggage claim. The shooter, 26-year-old Army veteran Esteban Santiago. He was arrested by police shortly after the shooting began. He's in federal custody facing murder charges, which could make him eligible for the federal death penalty. Now, months earlier, Santiago reportedly had a mental health evaluation after a strange visit to an Anchorage, Alaska FBI office. He was living in Alaska at the time. This mass shooting, though, renews the perennial debate over who should and should not be allowed to carry guns in Florida, just as new proposal legislation here in the state would allow concealed weapons inside unsecured areas of airports, like baggage claims. WLRN reporter Peter Hayden spoke with the Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel about the attack, airport security, and who should be allowed to carry guns and where.
Sheriff, what is the status of the airport shooting investigation and what role is BSO playing?
Well, right now the investigation involves is centered around hundreds and hundreds of Americans around the country being interviewed. That's completely being done by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The FBI has total control over this investigation. Every other agency brought into it, including us, we're now in an assist role. So we'll assist and do whatever the FBI needs us to do. We're looking, as most people know, we're looking at the behavior of one of our deputies, and we're investigating that aspect of it with the under the umbrella of the FBI, and we'll see where it goes.
Was this an act of international terrorism?
We don't know at this point. The FBI believes that it certainly could be. They have not been able to rule international terrorism out vis-a-vis a homegrown violent extremist. So as long as the FBI feels that it's an area that they have to delve into, it'll be considered under the umbrella of terrorism, and that's why the FBI correctly took control of the investigation.
Were the deputies that responded to the shooting, were they operating under active shooter rules when they confronted Santiago? And why or why not, and what are those rules of engagement?
Well, they certainly were. I mean, they apprehended him milliseconds after he had fired his last shot. So he certainly was an active shooter. And
What is the protocol in that kind of a situation? Where you had the SWAT teams come in first and clear, as I understand, and then send the buses in to take people out. Was that all after the deputies encountered Santiago?
Two different issues, basically, two different scenarios. The after our deputies took Santiago into custody, it went from an active shooter scene to a crime scene. And the FBI and the Broward Sheriff's Office were working in concert with each other in a remarkable fashion to do the things that need to be done at a crime scene, to investigate, to, you know, you're going to bring this case to a court. Somebody's going to be looking at the death penalty. So you want every I dotted and every T crossed. So that was the preservation and the investigation of the crime scene at that point became paramount. And when I arrived, that's what was being done. And I was just so impressed by the way the two agencies were working together. Shortly thereafter, we had reports that in one of the terminals, and then a second terminal that we, one and four respectively, that we possibly had, or we had an active shooter, and we were told that there was a gunshot wound victim in terminal one. I made the decision at that time, correctly so, that we could have one or more active shooters at the airport. So we were trying at that point to get buses, a multitude of buses, to the roadway that surrounds the airport, where we drop passengers off. And we were gonna get buses there and move people to whatever locations we could, the port, the convention center, the Red Cross was helping us out. And that was the plan. But when the active shooter or potential active shooter surfaced, I made the decision to clear the airport, and I wasn't going to bring people into harm's way. So at that point, the safety of everyone at that airport, citizens and law enforcement, became paramount, and I made a decision that we would take on the monumental task of clearing an airport of that size, and we did.
Was it a hard thing to do?
Incredibly hard.
Do you support state legislation that would allow concealed carry in airport baggage claims?
Certainly not. I believe airports, courthouses, certainly schools, I don't believe whether, you know, I believe in, I understand the Second Amendment, and I understand what, why we issue concealed firearm permits. And I support both of those, but I don't believe that we need to have guns in those locations. If we do have active shooters, how would law enforcement know who are the good guys and who are the violators? I know that it is possible, you know, that to, it's possible for me to win the lotto, but it's not going to happen. And to think that a heavily armed killer is going to come into a school or an airport and somebody there, other than a trained professional military law enforcement, is going to be able to neutralize that subject, to me, is far-fetched. To carry a handgun or a rifle, to me, you should practice, train, be familiar with the nomenclature, know how to clear a weapon, and know so many things that the general public is just not concerned with. I would tell my wife, I would tell my children, I would tell my teammates, if you're armed and you're in a place where an active shooter decides to commit mass murder, if you can run away no matter what gun or weapon you have on you, get your family and run away and avoid the confrontation. Secondly, I would say hide. If you could get to a place like hundreds of people did at the airport, under cars, in tarmacs and planes, hide. Hide so the gunman doesn't see you. And then at the end of the day, if you know the only thing left to do is fight, then do that.
Do you support the state legislation that would require background checks for gun sales at the gun shows?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You should not be able to do anything at a gun show that you can't do at a gun store. No one should be able to circumvent the law.
You've made recent comments about people with mental health acquiring guns, and so I just want to try and pin you down on that a little more. What do you mean by that?
If a football player today tore his ACL and he was in a cast, crutches, and rehabbing, you wouldn't put him back on the football field. If a person is suffering from a mental health issue, although I have so much compassion for these people, they shouldn't have guns. As long as they have a mental health issue, and as long as some practitioner says they're suffering from mental health issues, in my opinion, we become a dangerous society to allow them to have firearms.
And would that require a diagnosis of mental illness from a physician, a licensed physician?
Certainly.
And that would be the threshold for, you're off the list, you know, you're not able to possess a gun.
Sure, and it would be, in my opinion, the obligation of the medical professional to have a form to fill out, or an official form that goes to law enforcement, that goes to the airlines, that goes to cruise ships, that we know who these people are. We want them to get better. We want them to heal. We're not looking to put a scarlet letter on them, but we don't want them to carry, or I don't want them to carry firearms.
If the feds or the state legislature did not act or was not willing to move on a ban for firearms for people with diagnosed mental health issues, would you support Broward County, you know, putting forth a major like that?
Yeah, my stance is my stance. My beliefs are my beliefs. My eyes and ears are always open. The best leaders are the best listeners. So I'm always willing to listen to someone else's opinion. But I don't search, Dr. King, and we're going to be celebrating Dr. King Day on Monday. And, Dr. King said, leaders don't search for consensus, they mold consensus. So I mold consensus. I'm not searching for others to be with me on this issue. I know, right?
What can you tell us about the security camera video that wound up on TMZ? Do you know how much it sold for? Was it sold? And what agency is responsible for securing those video cameras?
See, it's disappointing to me that you're asking these questions. They're very appropriate questions. My disappointment does not lie with you, but I'm disappointed you would ask questions like this, because no one knows that the things you're asking even happened. We're at the beginning stages of an investigation. Based on the knowledge I have as sheriff, I suspended a deputy with pay. He could be put back to full duty tomorrow. I could suspend him without pay tomorrow. He could be arrested. He could be terminated. Everything's on the table. They're not even valid questions. We're not even to that point.
Okay, but the footage did end up on TMZ.
Yes, that doesn't mean that they were sold. That doesn't mean that anybody that works with the Broward Sheriff's Office sold it or didn't sell it. I have no knowledge of what was done because we're at the beginning stages of an investigation, and we'll find out what happened, and then I'll make the appropriate decisions. Right now, the way I'm handling this is absolutely appropriate. Based on what I know, I suspended a deputy with pay. He has due process, and we'll go from there.
Well, maybe I can ask you this. Who owns it?
No matter who owns it, if anything becomes evidence, then it is under the direction of the agency in charge of the investigation.
And in this case, that would be the FBI?
Yep.
Thank you very much for being here, Sheriff.
You bet. Happy New Year to all your listeners.
That's Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel speaking to WLRN's Peter Hayden. Still to come, as the Florida Roundup continues, we preview a new WLRN radio documentary, Cell 1, Florida's Death Penalty in Limbo. That's next.